Priorities in education used to be, right, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Today, at least in Florida, it's become the evils of critical race theory. How deep does the concern about CRT in Florida schools go? Well, the state recently rejected, you caught this, I'm sure, 41% of math textbooks declaring that they contained indoctrination, specifically now into CRT. Now, what examples did they present to support their claim? At the time of the announcement, none, but by the end of the week, yeah, a reach at best, as you'll hear in a few moments. But that was good enough for the acolytes of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, not for many others, including the organization my next guest is with. Here to examine some of the elements of the story is the senior manager of the Free Expression and Education Program at Penn America, Jeremy Young. How are you today, sir?
Oh, doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Learn more of the work about Penn organization, Penn America specifically. It is, right, the obvious, penn.org. So we have, I mean, it's a standard operational procedure. You always want to have the best tools for education. So textbooks are reviewed for maybe being out of date, new ones being more effective. But in Florida, it just seemed to be, as I said in the introduction, they were looking for one thing and one thing only. In their opinion, they were hoping the people of Florida believed they found it, and that was CRT in 41% of the math textbooks. But if you, the devil in the details, it seems like there's a little bias because the textbooks that were all approved were by one company, which has, believe it or not, a tie financially to Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin. That's the Carlisle.
No, I don't want to be too strong about that financial tie. It seems pretty likely that Governor Youngkin's involvement in this is nothing. The company is a financial services company that owns this textbook producer. He wasn't involved with the company anymore by the time this decision was made. But I think the key here is that we have to look at these textbooks themselves and try to understand the process that is going through the State Board of Education's mind in Florida. Because the truth here is that the point of reviewing math textbooks is to determine how well they teach math. And that's not what was done here. This was an attempt to take textbooks written by professionals and turn them into a political football and find things in them that aren't there and make objections that make no sense and just try to rally some angry base voters here rather than fairly evaluate these books.
And you would think, too, that this is a pretty sizable, earth-shattering announcement, the degree of book rejections that took place just in this one sweep. But it took them to the end of the week to come up with what they called examples, none of which could be classified as CRT, but they presented what they considered to be examples of what's called SEL, social-emotional learning, which is defined as a concept that teaches students how to manage their emotions, develop empathy, solve problems, and make decisions. Boy, that's a radical idea, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, if you want kids to be, failing their tests and getting angry and having fights in classrooms, you really should oppose social-emotional learning. Because the truth is, there is nothing controversial about trying to help children manage their emotions in class, understand how other people think, so that they can do better on their tests and in their classes. The numbers back this up. Classrooms that teach social-emotional learning have better outcomes. The students do better on tests. They're more mature emotionally. And yet this is now being used as a political football tied to critical race theory. The problem here is that critical race theory is not being taught in any classroom in the country at the K-12 level. And so the people who are making this argument have to go out looking for something that they can call CRT. And they found it, but there's no connection. So this is just politics at its worst.
That's the route I was going with the Youngkin reference, because Youngkin ran and won with the promise that he was going to eliminate CRT teaching and indoctrination in Virginia schools, which there is none. So it seems like DeSantis in Florida is saying, hey, that worked for him. I think I'll try that.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a calculation going on here that this is a political winner, that it makes people mad, that it turns out of voters and supporters. But the truth here is that who's being poorly served are the kids. You know, this is an attack on public education in Florida. This is an attack on children's ability to learn math, on teachers and local communities and local school boards and parents' ability to choose these textbooks. We still know very, very little about what textbooks, why these 54 textbooks, including 71% of all elementary school math textbooks, were rejected. The states provided four examples. None of them make me particularly uncomfortable. Maybe two of those four, I'd have a quiet word with the publisher about adjusting some language, but certainly nothing that required this kind of attention or putting these publishers on blast. And the truth is that six of the 54 rejected textbooks, according to the state's own published rubric, did not contain any objectionable material and met all of the state standards, including one textbook that met, that performed better than any other textbook in the state at the K through 5 level and contained no problematic concepts and was rejected anyway. So they're still not telling us anything about that means anything about what's going on with this textbook review process. It's a mess.
So Jeremy Young, who's the senior manager of the Free Expression Education Program at Penn America, penn.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm certain it'll be time-consuming to do, but I'd be curious to see, because the other major publishers, McGraw-Hill, Savas Learning Company, they also had books that were submitted, books in, that were in the Florida school systems as well. With this decision focusing on books from a single company, is that guaranteeing that the students are getting the best learning tools?
Well, and that's exactly the problem. That this is not a decision that's being made based on an educational policy evaluation of these textbooks. It's just not. Most of these textbooks meet the state standards. Most of these textbooks are good and effective and proven effective. And that's just not how this evaluation is being done. And who's going to suffer here are the kids who don't have, there is some concern at the elementary levels that some school districts may not be able to acquire enough books because they've rejected so many that there may not be enough books published in the ones that are accepted that the school districts can get enough copies. There's a chance that this is really going to hurt a lot of math education, a lot of kids, a lot of teachers, a lot of school districts, and a lot of local communities that are having their, local authority taken away by a state government agency that is trying to dictate what they can and can't learn based on things other than educational quality.
This isn't a one-and-done type of thing, too. This has become a trend in Florida. I mean, everyone has certainly heard about the Don't Say Gay bill, which has been magnified and misrepresented. And there's also another bill that's called the Individual Freedom Act, which includes prohibiting educators from subjecting any student or employee to training or instruction that espouses, promotes advances, or compels each such student or employee to believe those same ideas. Again, has there been a parent coming forth saying, hey, this is happening, we got to do something about it?
No, there's no evidence that any of this is happening, but Florida really has been a leader in the race to the bottom on what we call educational gag orders, these legislative attempts to censor what people can read, learn, and teach in the classroom. And yes, there were four bills passed this year that restricted educational outcomes, but placed unreasonable burdens on teachers and students. Florida's just been doing almost nothing but this. And we are seeing this around the country, but Florida is really the epicenter of this movement right now. And it's a scary thing. If you're a teacher, if you're a student, if you're a parent, you are really concerned about what's going on in these legislative restrictions on free expression in your classroom. I mean, they're talking about indoctrination and how afraid they are that kids are being indoctrinated. What does indoctrination look like if not a state government agency and legislative body doing everything they can to silence teachers and students? Well, that's what we're seeing in Florida.
Another bill, too, was going to let parents and citizens challenge any book used in schools. Will mandate online access to review the books. You don't have to, as a parent or advocate, make an effort. It's going to be on the school onus on the education system to present the info to you. Maybe think, too, supporters of a bill like this are probably mostly religious conservatives. So I wonder how they would feel if, an example, an atheist caught wind about a school library that has not a religious book, but a biographical book of religious figures like Moses or the Apostle Paul, and use this law to get those books kicked out. I wonder how the proponents of this bill would feel about that.
Well, Pen America is a nonpartisan organization, and we oppose censorship of books and classrooms on both the left and the right. And we've had many occasions in recent years to object to censorship of books on the left, books like To Kill a Mockingbird or Huckleberry Finn, criticized from the left. Unfortunately, what we're seeing in Florida and other states is just a real escalation in government-mandated censorship on the right. We released a report on book bans nationwide earlier this month, and saw that Florida was the third highest had the third highest number of book bans over the last 9 months of any state in the country, and that's before this bill was passed. So it's just going to get worse.
Yeah, it seems like Florida wants to catch up with. I think it was Texas ahead of that list, wasn't it?
Texas was number one, and Pennsylvania, unfortunately, number two.
Which that was kind of surprising when I saw that. You would think Pennsylvania would be certainly more toward the middle, with the eastern side being on more open-minded side and the western side being quite more conservative. And this, too, just to wrap it up, Jeremy, this is really something we had been seeing taking place in public libraries, and it seems like it's got momentum, sad to say.
Unfortunately, it does. This is the censorship in educational institutions and libraries seems to be a popular thing, at least among certain groups of Americans. The truth is, though, that these things poll very badly nationwide. 80% of Americans oppose book bans. 75% of Americans think that students should be taught an honest history of race and slavery, even if it makes them uncomfortable. So what these laws are doing is deeply unpopular, and it's frustrating that they're moving ahead even without sort of national consensus that this is what needs to happen.
Just to compare and contrast, here in New Jersey, several libraries in the month where it's designated have a banned book week where they promote and present books that other states have banned, which I think is a wonderful idea because education is supposed to be an expansion of awareness, not a limitation.
I think it's a wonderful idea, too. And, you know, free speech is one of the few things in this polarized country that most Americans agree is a good thing. And I just hope that we can return very soon to a time when everyone on the right and the left, almost everyone who isn't an extremist, supports free expression in the classroom, free expression in libraries, opposes book bans, opposes educational gag orders. We've been there before. I hope we can get there again, but unfortunately we're not there right now.
It'll take some time, but it's certainly worth the effort, to be sure. He's the senior manager of the Free Expression Education Program, Penn America, penn.org, the website. Jeremy Young, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.